Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is John Chuckwee Show, hanging out with you here on a Thursday night. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. Those are our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Don't forget, we're streaming online at 929thegame.com. That's where you catch us live and replays of all the shows. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device. That keeps us on the go. You can listen to us anytime. A cool new feature about listening back in real time over the last 24 hours to anything that was on the station. Social media is all at 929thegame. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all the different platforms that are there. The best way to follow this particular show and be a part of things is to interact with me on my personal Twitter. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. 8:20, we will talk to the Resurgence ATL, Atlanta United supporter group. You've heard the different groups on our station all day long today, so we will have those folks coming up here at 8:20, talk a little bit about Atlanta United as they get ready to head to Nashville and take on Nashville SC. That will be a 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock kick coming up on Saturday night as Jason Longshore and Mike Conney will have the call on all of that. So listen to this story from the NBA. The NBA fined the Minnesota Timberwolves $25,000 today for violating the league's player resting policy. I'm going to repeat that. The league's player resting policy. Okay? The violation occurred when the Timberwolves rested D'Angelo Russell, a healthy player under the policy, during Sunday's road game against the Nuggets in Denver. Okay? Now, by the way, in case you're just wondering, the Minnesota Timberwolves are 17-40. Now, the Nuggets obviously are really good. They're 40-18. Minnesota Timberwolves are 17-40. Okay? The resting policy limits teams from sitting healthy players in quote unquote high profile nationally televised games. Okay? Sunday's game was on NBA TV. The policy requires that teams rest players only when they are at home, unless there are unusual circumstances. The Wolves said in a statement they accept the fine, but noted, quote, "We are a player-centric organization that's focused on learning and optimizing our players' bodies. As a new player in our program, we chose to rest D'Angelo in order to learn his body better and to optimize his health during a difficult stretch of games and travel." Now, if you remember, D'Angelo Russell was recently traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. There's a lot of tentacles to this story, okay? Now, listen, $25,000 in the grand scheme of things is chicken feed to an NBA team. That's, you know, $2-3 to most of us out there. That's nothing out there. But it's kind of interesting to say that the NBA has this policy of, quote-unquote, high-profile games where you had one team at 40-18, the other team at 17-40. So the idea of that being a high-profile game probably leaves a lot to the imagination to start with because, well, Minnesota stinks. And if not for how bad Golden State is, Minnesota would be the worst team in the Western Conference as well. So that in itself is kind of, you know, interesting to call that a high-profile game, even though it's on TV. But, hell, how many games aren't on TV anymore in the NBA, for God's sakes? I mean, Jiminy Christmas. I mean, like every ESPN or TNT or Turner or, you know, this. Hell, is it always an NBA game on, you know, national TV? Now, this has been an ongoing sore spot with fans because obviously the whole load management term gets people fired up. And unfortunately this year, the Atlanta Hawks have been the victim of that repeatedly, right? When Toronto came to town, right? Not Toronto. When the Clippers came to town. Cowie didn't play. I think Paul George was out as well. And there was somebody else on their squad. I can't remember, Ken. Somebody else was out as well. Obviously, here recently, when the Dallas Mavericks and the Hawks played, Luka was out. Porzingis was out. And they had somebody else out as well. And we see this, Willie Cauley-Stein, yeah. And we're seeing this regularly, right? And this was this goes back to the old San Antonio Spurs thing, right? They would hold out Duncan and Parker and Ginobili when they felt like it. Yeah, when they felt like it, though. You know, there was no real rhyme or reason other than what was termed, quote-unquote, load management. Now, the question becomes, should the NBA find these teams doing this on a regular basis? See, the teams are going to use the excuse of injury and things like that, okay? They don't break down who and how a guy is injured in this particular policy and different things, you know, like that. But obviously for fans, it's been a sore subject about the fact of I pay my money to see Dallas and I want to see Trey and Luka because they will forever be linked to one another. You know, they will forever be, okay, who won that trade? How did it work out for the Hawks? How did it work? They will forever be linked to one another. And people want to see them play one another, right? That's to be expected. Or if the Clippers are only going to come once this year to State Farm Arena, and I've paid good money for those tickets, which, by the way, you know, a lot of times the NBA, the good tickets, they're not cheap. So if I paid good money to see the Clippers, and I got no Cowie, no Paul George, it's convenient that all those guys are out, right? Convenient that those guys are all out at the same time. Because people have asked the question, should the NBA allow this to go on? Well, obviously we know that they have a policy when it comes to, quote-unquote, high-profile TV games. Now, it also doesn't, in this article, list what is considered high-profile. Is Sunday night on NBA TV a high-profile game if you're on NBA TV? Because that's not the same as Turner or ABC or ESPN, okay? So just even by the definition of, okay, what is a high-profile game leaves a lot to be desired out here. I get fans' angst. I really do. I understand. But I think teams should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. I think at the end of the day, because, and I know people won't like this, nothing's guaranteed in life with this kind of stuff, okay? You know, there's no guarantee that you're going to get stars or you're going to get this, you're going to get that. You know, everything in life comes with a catch to it, right? You know, maybe you go to a play and something happens and the lead actor's not there. You know, there's a lot of things that happen, you know, over the course of time, but nothing is guaranteed. I don't have a problem with the load management thing because, you know, my belief about the NBA, it is way too long of a season. There is no reason to have 82 games in the NBA. None. Right now, there's 22 games to go for the Hawks. I swear they've played for like 9 months now. How can they only be at 60 games and they've been playing since like August? And I know they don't want to do back-to-backs. They don't want this. Cut the schedule down. Now, we know that won't happen because money rules everything. But 82 games is way too long in the NBA. 66 games, perfect. Perfect. Cut that down. So we know the NBA already is trying to put things away. We want to start the schedule earlier so we don't have as many back-to-backs. And, you know, we don't want to do back-to-backs and this and the other. Well, man, you know, that's, again, you're going to make the season 11 months? Yeah, there comes, I mean, think about it. When they get to the playoffs, it's, what, late June by the time the NBA Finals wrap up. Yeah. Yeah, the first round of the NBA playoffs, 40 games and 40 nights. Hell, it still takes a month to finish that. Still takes forever and a day to finish that. So I've always been in the camp of I'd love to see the NBA cut its schedule. I'd love to see it be more of a sprint type of thing. And you know my thing, start closer to Christmas. You know, that's always been kind of the unofficial start to the NBA season is Christmas. Start around then. And I get it. Listen, TV contracts and money and all, you don't have to explain it to me. I know exactly the reasons why. We all do. Well, it's why all athletic, you know, professional athletic franchises do what they do is because of the almighty dollar. And I get that fans don't like, you know, when stars, you know, aren't there to play or this, that, and the other. But when you have 82 games, you're going to get some of that. The NFL's different. You only get 16. You know, MLB, guys get days off in the MLB, right? Are there guys that play 162? Yes. Did Josh Donaldson play 162 games last year? No. Was it all because of injury? No. It was because of load management. It's not unusual for guys to get a day off here. How many are there catchers that play 100? Did Johnny Bench play 150, 160 games a year? No. Why? Because he played a very demanding position that puts a lot of strain on your body. Well, if you go to see the Cincinnati Reds, hell, don't you want to see Johnny Bench? I mean, I would think that'd be one of the top guys you'd want to see if I'm playing the Cincinnati Reds back in that day. But it didn't happen. So my thing is, you know, I don't have a problem with the load management over 82 games. I get for the fans' perspective, but if y'all don't understand by now, this is not about fans. Fans don't pay for the NBA, okay? Well, that arena's got a bunch of people who are not. The TV contracts are what pays for the NBA. That's where the money comes from. All right, when we get back, the Resurgent Supporters Group for Atlanta United is going to join us in studio as Atlanta United gets ready to head up to Nashville for a little MLS action. That's all coming up next. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuck Reese Show. Coming to you here live on a Thursday evening. We're coming up on Saturday. Atlanta United will be back in action as they get ready to kick off MLS play up in Nashville to take on Nashville SC. And you've been hearing on the station all day long a lot of the Atlanta United supporters groups that have been on. We've got Resurgence in studio. Of course, you can follow them on Twitter, be a part of their Twitter following. It is at Resurgence ATL, and I'm joined by Andrea and Will, a couple of members of the group. Good evening to you both. Thanks for joining us in studio tonight.
Oh, thanks for having us, John.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
No, great to have you all a part of it. So, tell me a little bit about the genesis of this group. Everybody's got kind of a fascinating story about how they started off. Give the listeners a taste of how this thing get kicked off. How'd you get to where thousands of people now are interacting with you?
Yeah, so I have been with this group almost since the very, very, very beginning stages. And I remember getting roped in, and one of the biggest focuses that some of the founders that I was really close friends with wanted to focus on was like the elements of in-game, the TIFO stunts, the drums, the chants, the songs. Like, how do we make the supporter section that we've seen across the world and bring that to Atlanta? And that really became how we all came together and what we wanted to focus on. And through the years, we've learned so much and we've grown so much. And part of Resurgence has always been the heart of the supporter section and the heart of the in-game experience, whether that takes place, you know, on the road or at home, and just really driving home that atmosphere that the players love and crave, and that you see them look up and there's 70,000 screaming fans. How do we make those screaming fans even louder?
You know, I'm sure you all interact with each other as far as the different supporter groups and things like that. So what does Resurgence try to do to maybe be unique amongst supporter groups?
Yeah, so I mean, that's where, kind of like Andrea said, where everything that we do is really focused on the in-game element. Mm-hmm. And I think that everyone else has their own specific things they try to do. You know, Faction's really focused on charity and donations and things like that. Terminus Legion, very focused on community. And Footy Mob really kind of tries to bring that ATL element, kind of the hip-hop culture, kind of bring it in and mm-hmm. make that unique culture. And, you know, that's great. Everyone has their very specific identity. And we try to just specifically focus on endgame. We do a bunch of other stuff. You know, we do community service events. We're doing a community service event when we bring a bunch of people up to Nashville this weekend. You know, we do tailgates, and that's where we get everyone in our group kind of excited and hyped up for the game. For us, it's really all about the endgame experience.
Take me through a road match. How many people are getting together from your supporter group for, let's say, a typical? I mean, obviously, this is going to be pretty cool because Nashville, and it's going to be new and all that. But give me an average road game experience for your group.
So I think there's always going to be the edge cases like Nashville and Orlando where we're going to be sending just huge swaths of mm-hmm. people. We're showing up rowdy and proud. But I'd say the average game, I got to work very closely with our travel coordinator, and I believe maybe minus one or two games last year, we had gone with a streak that we had sent at least one Resurgence supporter to every game, and that usually looks like, you know, we have people deciding last minute to grab vans and pick up friends along the way. We're bringing banners. We're bringing flags. We're sometimes trying to sneak in drums to these stadiums. We'll be out there all game. We're often the shirtless people that you see on TV. If they're shirtless and they're in the away supporter section, they're probably one of ours. We take a lot of pride in that. And, yeah, we start selling tickets. We hype it up. We try and get our members to go because – you know, home games, it's always going to be a home game for Atlanta United. But to send, to go to an away stadium and know as a player that there's going to be a contingent of people there just screaming their hearts out for you for all 90 is what we want to do as a focus of ours.
Hanging out in the Kia Studios with Andrea and Will. They are from the Atlanta United support group Resurgence. You can follow them on Twitter at ResurgenceATL. I'm curious, what do y'all think it is about Atlanta United that so much of this is kind of grown and developed? We just don't see it, you know, like necessarily. I don't know. I'm sure the Braves have support groups. I'm sure I know the Falcons do ATL Cast. We've partnered up with them. But it seems like Atlanta United is different when you talk about support groups and just kind of that grassroots movement. Why is it? Why have so many of y'all embraced Atlanta United?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that for a lot of us, it's that's a common story that you hear about where people come to a city of Atlanta and they already have their other teams mm-hmm. and everything. And MLS is such a young league. This is actually they're celebrating the 25th year
right.
this year versus NFL, which just celebrated its 100th year, right? So trying to bring everybody in and kind of saying, hey, we're a fresh new start, we're a brand new team in a relatively new league. And we're going to have a brand new stadium and kind of getting that support from the very beginning and doing it differently than a lot of the other teams in the league did. Bringing a new stadium that's state-of-the-art in the middle of the city versus, you know, Chicago had theirs out in the burbs way, way out. Mm-hmm. And they just basically did a full brand refresh trying to bring it back in. You know, and trying to do something different where we're bringing in young players, attractive, you know, fun, fast moving young players like Miguel and Tito and Joseph kind of from the very beginning and changing how the league does it, seeing that influence of, you know, Atlanta influences everything. And you see that as well within the soccer team where now teams are trying to emulate that and trying to bring in those young players. And that's, I don't think LAFC would be where it is right now without us kind of trying to lead the way in both a play on the field as well as kind of in the supporters section as well, trying to how they kind of emulate some of the things that we do in a support and kind of bring that level of hype. But I think that it's just kind of catering to that group that didn't really have a full thing to go after right in the city when the opportunity was there.
So what's the plan for this weekend? It's Nashville. It's not far away. It's a fun town. So What kind of shenanigans, what kind of group are we looking at for this weekend?
Yeah, so Andrea said, you know, we bring a decent number of people to a fair number of games, but this is going to be probably by far our personal biggest thing. I think that we have probably about 500 people from Resurgence coming up. That doesn't even count the people that got tickets before those the supporter section tickets were on sale, and it also doesn't count the people that tried to find other ones.
Or the other SGs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also and as think, large of a contingent.
I think I've heard tickets are even as low as like $12 or something like that that you can get in. I mean, so if you want to just get into the stadium and see it, it's pretty reasonable to get in.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're going to do, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, we're going to start the day off kind of low-key. Kind of we're doing a community service event. Everywhere we go, we want to have some sort of impact on the community that we visit. And after that, we're fully focused on the game. We're getting ready. We're going to have a huge gathering of everybody in our group, and then we'll have a massive march to the stadium, unlike anything that we've ever done before. And then we're going to be loud as hell.
Yeah,
for
I hope Nashville is ready, because I truly don't know, based on things I've heard, if they understand what is about to happen.
Probably
at the
not.
Stadium.
I mean, yeah. I mean, probably realistically, they probably don't. I mean, let's think about it. I mean, they just, you know, and so many, you said, you both said it kind of correctly. You know, Atlanta United is the model for how MLS franchises want to be, because how can you deny wanting people to come support your product? I mean, you know, it's Atlanta United, let me say, MLS a little bit different from, say, Major League Baseball or NFL, because TV money isn't there to drive the league the way that, with all due respect, if nobody shows up to an NFL game, they make tons of cash, okay? TV pays for everything. Same thing with Major League Baseball. There was a stat that said the Dodgers could close the doors, and their TV, between the national and local TV contract, they would still profit heavily if not a single person ever walked into Chavez Ravine. MLS is different. They need that support. They need that grassroots movement, and I think that's what makes groups like yours. One is the ability to be popular, Andrea, and the two is the fact that you can have a direct effect on the success of an organization like this.
Yeah, I think what Atlanta United did super well is, and I can see it in Resurgence, and I would not doubt it's like this just among the fan base, is that you have people who have ties to other cities, NFL teams, MLB teams. I'm one of them. My family's from Minnesota, so I grew up a Vikings fan only, mm-hmm. but I didn't have a soccer team, and I grew up in Atlanta, and we have, you know, fans from, you know, who sit in Colorado who might be NHL Rockies fans, but they have a piece of them from Atlanta. And so Atlanta has become this team, and it didn't matter what other teams you supported, or if you didn't have another sports team, you might have loved soccer and didn't have that. And Atlanta's been able to capture this. It's been this wide net that everyone can gravitate to. Doesn't matter who you supported before. You've been able to get be a fan of Atlanta United. And the front office, I think in year one, very quickly identified that with some of the events that they did hosting. I remember the first Boxing Day at like Brew House, and there was maybe a couple people there, and Darren Eels was there, and really trying to get connected into the roots of the city, because right. that's where the population is, and that's where they wanted their fan base to be located. And now you see that after 4 years grow middle out.
Atlanta United supporter group Resurgence is joining us here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game here on the John Chuckery Show. Andrea and Will, a couple of members, are joining us. So the big question becomes, we know it's Club America, El Azteca Stadium. So who's going to be headed down there? Because this may be kind of like, I don't know if you say once in a lifetime kind of thing, but let's face it. I mean, these opportunities, you know, to be in one of the meccas, of certainly in North American soccer, this is your chance.
Well, I mean, I don't. You can't poo-poo on Kennesaw State, man. Okay. We made that place loud.
What is it? The action at the fraction or something,
right.
Right? Yeah, yeah. So I mean, yeah, I get that. But you're gonna try to go?
I'm not saying that I didn't look up flights for the first and second week of March, and that to those listening, if you were curious, it's just a hair under $450 round trip if you wanted to go. And I've heard Mexican street tacos are pretty legit down there. It might only cost you a peso or two, which right now in this current economy isn't that expensive of a trip. So for about $600, I may or may not have looked at maybe going down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, why not? I mean, that, and I would think that that's the fun part. If you could find a group, you know, that can make their way out there. Like I said, I don't want to say it's necessarily once in a lifetime, but it might be. It might be a once in a lifetime kind of experience to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so are y'all busy in a couple weeks?
I'm sure we're well. Listen, we will be off that night. So, and that's the thing too, is that you don't have a specific date. just yet. That hasn't been. We know it's a couple of weeks away because they'll be on the road to start in a couple of weeks. Then about 3 weeks before they come back home to play, the home leg will be the second leg of all of it. But that would be pretty cool. So how many people do you think are going to be up there this weekend? If you had to put a head count on, how many do you think are going to be in Nashville? I mean, this is going to be pretty intense, you said. So give me a number.
I'm not sure if they've announced if the stadium itself is sold out, how many, but I am pretty confident in saying that stadium is a 60-40 Atlanta split.
I believe it. I would believe that. How many out of your group do you think are going to be up there?
I mean, we know that
400, probably, 500
people. Yeah, 400,
people
500.
Getting crazy.
And
that you know for sure. That's
yes.
Already.
Just, now, just well, and that's just our group.
Now, will everybody be going to the game, or is this going to be, there'll be people in the stadium, but some people are just going to hang out and tailgate? And
we're not sure if everyone makes it to the game.
Right.
But
well,
we're sending 400 to 500 people who all have a ticket with the intent
right.
to make it
they're,
to
basically,
PM.
They'll load up the Partridge Family bus, and they'll head up to Nashville, and whatever happens along the way, you know, it's like those people used to travel across country, you know, just kind of hitchhike their way through. Hey, listen, whatever happens up in Nashville stays up in Nashville. So, hey, we can't thank you enough. Andrew and Will, give us real quickly how folks can get in touch with your group, and if they want to get involved, how can they reach you?
Yeah, like John said, contact us on Twitter at ResurgenceATL. You can reach out to us via our public Facebook page or on Instagram.
We also have a website that's just resurgenceatl.com. A couple links in there. We're kind of redoing it, but you still should be able to get to us membership and information. We're pretty quick to respond. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to have you down at a tailgate. Come hang out with us. Come party with us in the supporter section. Come wave flags, hit drums, sing songs. Let's do it.
Andrew and Will, thank you so much for being here with us. When we get back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. Is the world ready for quarter pounder scented candles? I think not. Get to that next. Hanging out with you on Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here on a Thursday night, headed toward 11 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with it. By the way, the text line is back up and running. I have no idea how, but it's text line's back. It said I was like suspended, and then it put me back in. So I guess suspension didn't last very long out there. So my thanks again to Resurgence for coming in. Don't forget, follow them on Twitter at ResurgenceATL. Really good folks, and a lot of fun seeing them in here. And listen, the reality is that they are. You know, listen, that's one thing Atlanta United has done a great job is being a part of this community and rallying folks around supporting Atlanta United. And I think a lot of organizations, you know, look at that and say, that's what we want. Well, you got to also have the ownership and the dedication and, you know, the city leadership behind you in all of that. I think Miami's got that. I think LA's got that. I'm not sure every place around the country has that. You know, obviously, Bob Kraft for a long time having that franchise up in New England, they just didn't do a whole lot. And then sees Arthur Blank kind of, oh, that's pretty cool, you know, and Arthur being one of his brethren in the NFL and such like that. So I was curious. I asked them, too, about who owns Nashville SC, if it's anybody associated with the Predators or Titans or anything. Is it? I don't know. I was just curious as to who owns the Nashville franchise up in for their MLS up there. Because I will say this, the Predators, that's considered one of the toughest tickets in the NHL. Like the Predators have become one of those really hot, sexy franchises. Obviously in the Stanley Cup Finals, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, and. You know, all the stuff that went on around. I mean, that town really embraced. So be curious to see what they do with a soccer team up there as well. All right, speaking of what we will do, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, there are some times when ideas maybe look good on paper and maybe just aren't that good in reality. Have you seen what McDonald's is doing? They're selling packs of quarter pounder scented candles. So you buy a 6-candle pack. Now, here's the crazy part, by the way, Ken. $35 and they're sold out. How crazy is that? Now, you get 6 custom scented candles in glass containers inspired by the quarter pounder. You get bun, ketchup, pickle, cheese, onion, and 100% fresh beef. Now, isn't kind of the purpose of the candles to not smell the onions and beef in the bath? Anyway, sorry about getting a little, disgusting there. But, because when I think of, like, soothing scents, I think about a greasy double quarter pounder with extra cheese, hold my onion with no pickle. I mean, oh, Lord. I mean, yeah, really. Like, if there's anything that I don't want to be, like, fresh scented by, now, I guess, if what app, you have to burn all 6 of them together at once? I mean, that's got to be what you have to do, right, is all 6 candles have to be burned together at one time. Which, by the way, what a cluster mess that probably smells like. My God. Ugh. And by the way, how do you have the scent of a greasy, maybe not all beef burger? I'm not going to tell you that on a quarter pounder that their burgers have marks on it where the jockey was hitting it, but anything's possible with all that. I don't know how you replicate that scent, by the way. I'm not sure I'd want to replicate that scent, by the way. But as McDonald's always does, God bless them. They are marketing kings because these things are sold out at $35, by the way. And I don't think they're really big candles. They're only, it's 4 pounds total of candles is what it is. So spread that out over 6 candles and you have all of that. I can't imagine just sitting around one night burning the candle of an onion. Like, that just, pine tree, cranberry, apple pie, vanilla. I get that. Mustard and onion? Miss me with all of that, as we like to say around here. Miss me with your mustard and onion candle and your faux ground beef burger patty out of all of this. So, God bless. And very quickly, too, I did want to do kind of almost a What's Bugging Chuckery part two. One thing you learn in radio, you always assume that your microphones are on. Somebody should probably tell Tony Grossi this up in Cleveland, because he has a bad habit of not understanding his microphone is live and hot and saying dumb things. Like when he just called Baker Mayfield, what was it, an effing midget with the microphones on and no filter out of all of that. Yeah, that's a way to guarantee yourself that you will get fired from your particular radio station. And by the way, he's done this before. If you know about his history up in that town, oh yeah, he's had some doozies over the years, even going back to the Art Modell days as well. So listen, when you're in this business and doing things, you got to get with your producers, whatever like that. Listen, I got with Ken on the two folks that we had in here. And I was like, Ken, you got to watch the microphones. I showed him how to turn them on and off, but I even had a conversation with Ken, watch these two. Not because I didn't, that they're bad people, but if you haven't done this and you don't realize, you don't understand about your mics being live, listen, even when we're in commercial, if I want to flip that microphone on and start talking, unless Ken shuts me down, you're going to hear exactly what I say. And don't worry, I worked with Sam Mitchell for about a year. We had plenty of those conversations, yeah, that made their way on air with F-bombs dropped. But anyway, I digress from all of that. When we get back, another UGA player is in some trouble. This is not good news for a guy who played a lot last year. We'll talk about that story next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. It is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.